Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to GNAC Insider, the show that takes you inside the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Hear from student athletes, coaches, and administrators from one of the premier conferences in Division II. Now, here's your host, Rob Lowry.
From Lacey, Washington to Nampa, Idaho, and from Monmouth, Oregon to wherever it is that you may be listening, welcome to GNAC Insider, your weekly look at the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. On tonight's show, later tonight, Western Oregon Athletic Director Curtis Campbell will join us. We'll talk about the Wolves and some things going on, really off the athletic endeavor, but involving athletics down there that he's involved with. It'll be an interesting conversation with the second-year athletic director at Western Oregon. Second-year men's head basketball coach Paul Rush from Northwest Nazarene will join us as well. And off the top of tonight's program, and man who is playing extremely well, Rhett Bearlocker, who is helping to lead the St. Martin Saints this year to a record right now of 12-2, best in the GNAC, and a team that has won 10 of its last 11 games. Rhett, thanks for joining us tonight here on GNAC Insider.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, glad to have you joining us here tonight. I just mentioned, as you heard, 10 of 11 wins. I'd like you to comment about that streak. Now, this is a veteran team and a team that really played so well getting into the NCAA Division II West Regionals last year. Saying that, 10 of 11 this year, how much of that is built upon last year's success?
I think a lot. I think a lot of the details that we had last year towards the end of the season and trusting each other has carried over this year and sharing the ball, making sure that we hit the open guy, making great plays for each other has definitely helped us this year.
Well, of course, Eric Fribble now has got his system in place there, and obviously the Saints are playing to the level that he expects overall. But what is the level that he expects, and what is the chemistry that is making this St. Martin's team so good early in, well, now midway through the season?
Yeah, I think it's just every day in practice, it's consistency. We gotta keep the consistent. That's something that we stress every day when we walk in the gym. We gotta have our details as soon as it warm ups, and then also before practice when we're watching film, we gotta be paying attention to the details. And that's, and when it comes down to it in the close GNAC games, that's what wins games, is who takes care of the ball, who rebounds, and who knows the other team opponent better.
Well, no question about it, and you're playing very well, as we mentioned, 10 of 11 wins for the 12-2 Saints, 5-1 co-leaders in the GNAC Conference. You yourself, you are playing extremely well. You are one of a number of double-figure scorers for the Saints, averaging better than 10 points a game, and you're also leading the team with an average of better than 5 rebounds a game. Now, if people haven't seen you play as I have, They may not realize that you are leading the team in rebounding with better than 5 boards per game, and you're only 6'3" tall. What makes you so successful hitting the glass?
I think in high school I always was playing the 4, and I don't know. We always talk about playing big at my house, and it's kind of a joke anymore now that I'm guarding the 5 more than I have in my college career. But I think it just, having that chip on your shoulder and being ready to go, getting good position, jumping to the ball, not letting anyone get ever an easy catch, and then always fighting around.
Well, along with that, you come from a basketball background. We talked about this before we began GNAC Insider tonight, and we're talking with Rhett Bearlocker, St. Martin's senior guard, about the St. Martin's team. But when you grew up back there in Montana, your dad was a basketball coach. You actually played for him for a couple of years as a high school student. When you come from a basketball background like that, Do you think that gives you a little better handle on how to play multiple positions and know how to be able to actually assess and use all the skills and abilities that you have to your best advantage?
Yeah, I think that growing up, I was always put in the position wherever we needed someone to go. And I think that my numbers statistically in high school never really necessarily showed what I was capable of, but I was capable of playing my role. And I think that's something that translated to college more than a lot of skills that high school players have, is I played my role to get to a situation where it put me in another position. But not in a lot of times in high school, kids will score 20 or 30 points a game. And I never did that in high school. And it's kind of crazy to see that it's translating from being a role player to play at the next level, not just being the guy that scores every time.
Well, as we mentioned, you played in Montana at Hellgate High School. You were a two-time second-team all-conference selection there, helped the Knights to two district championships. So obviously you played well in high school. What was it that brought you from Montana to Lacey, Washington to play collegiately?
It was an incredible opportunity. I was extremely lucky to come out and play at St. Martin's. Joey Peschel was the head assistant when I was getting recruited my end of my junior year, beginning of my senior year at Hellgate. And he ended up leaving after my freshman year and going to Oregon State. He's the one that contacted me first to get me out here.
Now, you are great on the court, as we mentioned, a very consistent player, double-figure scorer this year. But you're getting it done in the classroom as well. You were a member of the 2017 GNAC All-Academic Squad. What is it you're studying at St. Martin's, and what are your career aspirations once your basketball and your collegiate career are over?
So I'm in elementary education, and right now I'm in the process of getting my certification. So this semester I'm actually student teaching full-time. And so I have a lot on my plate this semester, and yeah, it's been good so far. I really like the class I'm in. I'm in fifth grade class, so general education, so all subjects, and it's really a blast. A lot of work, but a blast.
Do you want to go into elementary education?
That was the degree my dad got, and it fits me really well. I don't know what I'm going to do quite next year. I would love to try to play basketball again. Overseas or wherever. I'm going to keep playing basketball until someone makes me stop. That's for sure.
Well, you're going to be playing this weekend as St. Martin's this week goes on the road. You play at co-GNAC leader Western Oregon down there in Monmouth Thursday, and then you continue your Oregon trip with a game at Concordia on Saturday. What do you expect to see from both of those teams this weekend?
Western Oregon, they're always going to be ready to compete. They always got a chip on their shoulder, always good. We're really looking forward to that game. We lost to them four times last year brutally, twice in regular season, once in the conference championship, and then in the first or second round of the national tournament. So it's a huge rivalry game for them. I think we're really ready for them. So, yeah.
And then
Concordia has been playing a lot better. Yeah, Concordia has been playing a lot better. I think they have more of an inside presence and more of a balanced approach with Jared on the perimeter, and they got some bigs. So, yeah, it's GNAC on the road, you know, never easy. You always got to be ready to go, for sure.
Well, Rhett, I'm telling you, it's been a pleasure talking with you tonight. Continued success, and I certainly hope your dream of continued basketball after your senior year at St. Martin's comes true. If not, I have a feeling you're going to be an elementary teacher that any school would like to have, and I'm sure you'll have the opportunity to pass along not only the work ethic, but the love of basketball and the love, obviously, of education that you've grown up around. Thanks for joining us tonight. I told you I'd let you go and get your dinner tonight, so go and enjoy it, young man, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to talk again sometime later this year.
All right, I appreciate it.
Rhett Bearlocker joining us tonight from Lacey here on GNAC Insider. Well, we're going to stay on the men's basketball theme. We'll have the opportunity to talk to Northwest Nazarene men's second-year head basketball coach Paul Rush We'll get to that conversation on GNAC Insider immediately following this timeout.
Make sure to follow the GNAC on social media. Find us on Twitter and Facebook by searching GNAC Sports. And visit us on the web at GNACSports.com. GNAC Insider will be right back.
Every time a student learns something new, makes a discovery, or helps a team, it's not just good for that student, it's good for the whole community. At St. Martin's University, we know the impact a well-prepared graduate can have on the world. That's why, last year, we extended more than $11 million in scholarships to our students. Because the more we invest in them, the brighter the future becomes for all of us.
It's GNAC Insider. I'm Robert Lowry, and certainly glad you are listening to this broadcast as we now say hello to Paul Rush, the Northwest Nazarene men's basketball head coach. Thanks for joining us, Coach Rush, tonight.
Absolutely. Excited to be on.
Well, second year there in Nampa last year. Nighthawks had a good year, 13-13 in the postseason hunt right down until the final week of the regular season. But this year, you're off to a hot start. Northwest Nazarene 10-2, 5-1 in GNAC play. When you have one year under your belt and you have a lot of players, and we'll talk about some of them coming up who have been in your system for a year, does that make this kind of transition from a good year to what's becoming a great year? Is that the reason for it?
Well, I think we were able to get some guys in this year as recruits that have had a big impact right away. And then having all the guys that were returning, we had 9 returners and 9 new guys. And so kind of the combination of some of the guys knowing what was expected and how things were going to work. Plus, we've got some really talented guys in this year to kind of help fill some of those gaps. And I think that's helped us out quite a bit.
Well, Adonis Arms, your guard there for the Nighthawks, he is the team's leading scorer. He's averaging better than 21.5 points a game. I know the Nighthawks are not a single-player team, but talk a little bit about him and maybe some of those around him that has helped the Northwest Nazarene to this 10-2 start.
Yeah, Adonis is a really special player. He's got, you know, the ability to score the ball a bunch of different ways. He shoots it well outside. He's long and finishes well at the rim. And then he's actually a great passer, you know, has good vision, looks for cutters, looks for the open man, and doesn't force a bunch of shots. You know, his 21 points per game aren't coming on a crazy number of shots. I think in our game on Saturday, he only attempted 9 shots. And so he's not forcing things or trying to do it all his own. He knows he's got some great teammates around him. And then when his opportunity is there, he's obviously a very talented young man that can go score the basketball.
If your coaching career was over after this season, and certainly it won't be, I've got to ask you about one game that you coached in earlier this year and where it would rank in your criteria of wins. Earlier this year, Nighthawks beat the University of Idaho 77-73 for Northwest Nazarene's first ever win in modern history over a Division I opponent in an accounting game. And the Nighthawks scored 50 points in the second half, and you didn't trail in that game in the final 9 minutes. When you reflect on that game, and I know that your focus is ahead, it's not in the rearview mirror, I understand that. Saying that, when you reflect on that game now, do you just ever sit down and go, wow?
You know, I really haven't thought about it a ton. The unique thing for me is I actually lived in Moscow as a young kid, and my whole family, from grandma and grandpa through aunts and uncles and parents on both sides, are all Idaho Vandals. And so I'm actually a big Vandal fan. I'm a big Don Verlin fan. I think he's done a tremendous job up there in Moscow. It's not the easiest place to recruit, not the easiest place to build a basketball program that's a consistent winner. And he's really done a tremendous job up there. So honestly, it was a little bit bittersweet for me just because I hate seeing the Vandals lose, even if we're the team coaching against them. But it was a, you know, pretty exciting moment for our guys. I'd say most players at the Division II level feel like they're capable of competing with and being better than Division I teams on certain nights, and we were fortunate enough to have one of those nights back in, I think it was November sometime or whatever. So it's pretty unique. It's hard. I really haven't thought about it much. That's probably one of those when the coaching career is over, I might spend more time thinking about it. But, yeah, at least short term, it was a pretty bittersweet night for me.
Paul Rush, Northwest Nazarene men's basketball coach, is joining us tonight here on GNAC Insider. Well, that game is in the rearview mirror, but through the windshield, you have two games this week. You play at Alaska in Fairbanks on Thursday, Alaska Anchorage on Saturday. Both those games will tip off at 7 o'clock Alaska time. Talk a little bit about the challenge, not only of the travel, and we talk about that, but of playing both those teams. What do they have on the courts, and what do you expect out of both those squads?
Yeah, I think Alaska Fairbanks is a very talented squad. You know, Coach Sparling obviously has a tremendous amount of experience, but it's his first year up there with those guys, and he had a lot of players returning, a lot of experience coming back on that team, plus he brought in some very talented guys. So they have some, you know, guards that are very capable shooters, a very good three-point shooting team. They've got a couple wings that really attack the basket, and then I think they're one of the toughest parts about that team is their inside presence with Pluding, and as well as some of the bigs they bring off the bench. And so they're, you know, that's a tough matchup. Their record doesn't really show how good they are if you look at it and see how well they've battled in games, you know, beating a Black Hills state team that's been very successful in the RMAC, and then, you know, playing St. Martin's last Saturday to overtime and battling down to the end with those guys. It shows just how talented that Fairbanks team really is. And I think it's a team, you know, in their first year with a new coach and new system, kind of like we were talking about, as the GNAC conference season goes on, they're going to be one of those teams that's going to get better and better and going to be tough every night. And then Anchorage, Rusty just does such a tremendous job. That's always one of the best defensive teams in the conference. They execute their stuff offensively so well and can catch you off guard if you're not really focused and really paying attention. And then he's done a great job recruiting some really tremendous shooters in there, you know, with Nico Bevins and Tyler Brimhall. Those are two of the top three-point shooters in the league, and they're both long, you know, athletic guards that don't need a lot of space to get their shot off. So they become unbelievably hard to guard in the combination of how well they're coached and execute their offense and how well those guys can shoot it. And then he brings back experience, you know, with the five-man, with Berg as well as Pearson, and he's got, you know, some experienced ball handlers from last year as well. So they're a very tough team. I think they've gotten off to not quite as good of a start as I think that team will finish up. I think Anchorage is going to be one of the teams battling for it at the end because of just how good of a job he does up there and the talent he has.
Well, Coach Rush, I have one final question for you tonight. You spent 2 years as an assistant coach at Northwest Nazarene before being named the head coach. What was it that brought you to Nampa originally, and what is it that convinced you that you wanted to become the head coach there of this Nighthawks team, which you have, again, as we mentioned, and I don't think we can overstate this, off to a 10-2 start this year?
You know, I was coaching high school basketball and honestly, through a lot of prayer, kind of decided I was ready to take on the college game. And Coach Fleming was good enough to me to give me that opportunity. But almost immediately going from a head high school coach to a college assistant, I knew I was ready to be a head coach again. I just I learned so much from Fleming and was blessed to be with him. But my personality definitely lends itself more towards the head coaching role. And the position opening up at NNU when Coach Fleming took the job in the NBA, I wasn't necessarily thinking it would happen anywhere near that fast. I kind of figured I had somewhere between 5 and 7 years before I was going to get another opportunity to be a head coach. But, you know, the position Fleming took with the NBA and running NBA, all the operations in India and everything he's doing there was a tremendous opportunity for him. And then, you know, Kelly Lindley, our athletic director, believed in me enough to give me a shot here at NNU. So it really was just a God thing in terms of I left a high school job in 2015, and at the start of the 2017-2018 year, I was the head coach of a college team. And it's crazy to think about it that way, but that's how it kind of all worked out. So been beyond fortunate. I think if I would have gotten the assistant job any sooner, the guy you just had on your show, Rhett, I would have recruited the heck out of that kid. I remember watching him in high school in AAU, and I just thought, man, that's the right kind of kid to build your program around, just the way he shows up every day and the way he approaches things. And then he's just such a quality person, you know, along with that. So he's one I'm thankful to not have to coach against anymore, but I love watching him, you know, when we watch tape and all that stuff. I love seeing him play because I love the way he approaches it. So, he's a fun one, and wish I would have gotten the job a couple years earlier and could have gotten him out to Napa too.
Well, the players you have right now are playing so well for you. Continued success there at Northwest Nazarene. Safe travels this weekend to Alaska, Coach Rush, and I look forward to talking to you again in the near future. Thanks for joining us tonight here on GNAC Insider.
Hey, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Paul Rush joining us tonight from Nampa, Idaho, as we take a trip around the GNAC last week. Men's basketball, St. Martin's, Northwest Nazarene, Western Oregon, and Seattle Pacific. They are all now tied for first with 5-1 records in conference play. As we mentioned a bit earlier, the Saints own the best overall record at 12-2. In women's action, Northwest Nazarene is the conference's lone unbeaten team. The Nighthawks are 14-0 and ranked number 2 nationally after beating St. Martin's this past Saturday. Alaska Anchorage and Central Washington are tied for second right now in the GNAC standings. And in indoor track and field, Alaska Anchorage senior Caroline Kurgott set the NCAA Division II all-conditions record in the 3,000 meters at the University of Washington Indoor Preview, finishing with a time of 9 minutes, 7 and 5 one-hundredths seconds. Now, for her performance, Kurgott was named the GNAC Women's Track Athlete of the Week yesterday and selected today as a U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association Division II Women's National Athlete of the Week. Now, that's what happened around the GNAC. We're going to have the opportunity next to bring aboard Curtis Campbell, Western Oregon's Athletic Director. We'll have that conversation for you when GNAC Insider resumes right after this timeout.
GNACSports.com is your 24/7 resource for all the latest on the Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Schedules, results, standings, statistics, and more for all 11 GNAC members. Plus, catch live event coverage on GNAC.tv. With more than 60 areas of study to choose from, Northwest Nazarene University guarantees that you don't have to settle for a major that's anything less than your true passion. NNU graduate Chad Larson's goal was to find a program that would help him achieve his dreams. Majoring in engineering at NNU gave him the prestigious opportunity to do research with NASA. While a student, Chad worked internationally and experienced pursuing his studies in zero gravity, not once, but twice.
10 years from now, I hope to have obtained my PhD and then begin pursuing a career at NASA, where I'll be on the cutting edge of science.
Thanks to the education he received at NNU, Chad is well on his way to fulfilling his dream by working to obtain his PhD in engineering. It's not too late to find out which one of our majors you will love. Your program is waiting at Northwest Nazarene University. Call 467-8000 or visit nnu.edu today.
Welcome back to GNAC Insider. I'm Robert Lowry, and it's my pleasure now to be joined by Curtis Campbell, Western Oregon's Athletic Director. Mr. Campbell, thank you for joining us tonight here on GNAC Insider.
Hey, Rob. Well, thank you for inviting me.
You have had a very, very busy last 8 weeks or so. You have selected both a new volleyball head coach and a new soccer head coach for Western Oregon. Stacy Metro is now the new volleyball coach, and Casey Bingham, the soccer coach. And what I found interesting was you made those hires within one day of each other. I'd like you to talk about each of your new coaches there and what made them the right fit for the culture and the program of Western Oregon.
Well, I'll start out with Coach Bingham. When we met Coach on campus and she came and toured and interviewed, she just sort of stood out, like her personality and her competitiveness. And, you know, of course, she has a very strong background. She's coming from St. Mary's College as an assistant coach, and she was the head coach at Dixie State and won a couple of national championships as a JUCO coach at Paradise Valley. And I just felt, and we, the search committee and myself, felt that she was just an excellent candidate and the right fit for WU soccer. And after being around her for a few weeks and watching her work and having conversations with her, I feel that we made the very great selection. And I think she's going to really improve our women's soccer program. Coach Metro, volleyball, another very strong applicant with a lot of years of experience, knows volleyball inside and out, actually coming from a high school, Churchill High School in Eugene for 2 years, but before that spent like 12 years at the University of Oregon, and she's been at Northern Michigan, Chico State, Kansas State, some very competitive volleyball programs, very good recruiter. And, again, I think an excellent addition to our staff, and will make our volleyball program much more competitive.
Well, having to hire coaches and staff, certainly part of an athletic director's job, you also have overseen multiple athletic construction projects during your various tenures. You have worked at several schools during your 19 years of intercollegiate athletic experience. And I know that you must have put a lot of that to good use because this past August, Western Oregon renovated its baseball and softball fields. When you look back on those projects, did they come together as you had hoped? And what do these new facilities allow the Wolves that they couldn't do previously?
Well, for once, softball, that facility is going to be almost a new facility. The surface, we got new in turf infield, where in the past it was natural, and we got a new drainage system in the outfield. We got new backstop netting and new fencing around the facility where we can secure it now, lock up the entire facility. It's going to allow us, hopefully, to play more games at home. You know, we get a lot of rain down here in Monmouth. And in the past, with the natural field, you know, we had to play a lot of our home games off campus because the field just couldn't handle the water. And so that was one of the primary reasons for adding a turf infield. So hopefully it'll allow us to play our home games at home. And baseball already had a turf infield. And so we did some patchwork and I guess reconditioned some of the rough parts of the turf field and also put in a new drainage system in the outfield for baseball. And, again, hopefully we got a new logo also on the baseball field. And hopefully it'll allow us to play more home baseball games. And, again, we want to be able to take advantage of home field. And in the past, we hadn't always been able to do that. And so we're looking forward to this upcoming season.
We're talking with Curtis Campbell, Western Oregon University's athletic director. We've talked a lot about some of the projects you, in your capacity there at Western Oregon, have had to oversee that really are not seen on the court or on the field right now, but they certainly will be during the spring seasons and as we get into the next fall seasons as well. I also want to talk a little bit about your activity because you have been quite active at the NCAA level in governance as a member of the Division II Management Council and the Division II Planning and Finance Committees. Talk about how you're able to balance that level of commitment, which has been exceptional, along with your exceptional work there at Western Oregon University.
Yeah. Well, I actually had served on those committees prior to coming to Western. I did them while I was working at some of my previous institutions, but always wanted to be active at the national level, and I think it gives you a different perspective as an administrator when you're sitting around the table with other people from Division II institutions from all across the country. You get to network, you get to learn things about how they do business, and it's just a great experience, and it gives you a broader, I guess, appreciation for Division II athletics. And I've, as you say, I served on Division II Management Council, the Planning and Finance Committee, the Legislation Committee, where we sort of, I don't know if you've ever seen a Division II manual, NCAA manual. It's a lot smaller today than it was 5 years ago. And I was a part of the group on Legislation Committee that sort of edited that and took out a lot of things that we felt it needed to no longer be in there. And so it was a very good experience.
And there's one other point about your background I just have to bring up because I have a family connection to you in this regard. My brother served as a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne in the U.S. Army. You did, not at the same time, but you did as well. I need to talk to you about that experience and how that has maybe played into your role in athletics in the years that followed.
Well, I think, of course, when I did it, when I started, I was 18 years old when I joined the Army. Right out of high school, 2 weeks after graduating from high school, I was in basic training. And so, of course, at that age, you think, you know, you can do anything and sort of indestructible. And so volunteered to go airborne, and it was a very great experience. And I remember it well as far as on every jump being really scared, you know, having the butterflies in your stomach. And I think, but the thing is, you still exit the plane. You still jump out the door. And I think I would speak for everybody saying that you're scared every single time. And so to take that leap, even though you're scared, it's just an adrenaline rush. And I think that sometimes athletics can produce some of those same kind of excitement and same kind of adrenaline rush. You know, watching a great softball game or football game or whatever, where it comes down to the wire and your adrenaline is pumping because you want to win and you want your student athletes to win. It can provide the same kind of adrenaline rush and the same kind of excitement.
Well, Mr. Campbell, first of all, thanks for your service to our country. And I know that I speak for everybody down there in Monmouth and the surrounding area. Thanks to your service at Western Oregon University. I wish we had more time to talk tonight. We don't. But I look forward to having you back on here on GNAC Insider in the very, very near future as we continue to talk about Wolves athletics. And, of course, I'm pretty sure we will talk again during the spring season with softball and baseball down there in Monmouth. So thank you very much for joining us tonight, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, Rob, thank you very much for having me, and you continue to do the great work that you're doing.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Curtis Campbell joining us tonight from Monmouth. Well, around the Great Northwest Athletic Conference in men's basketball this week, there are 11 contests on the schedule. First place showdowns between St. Martin's and the just aforementioned Western Oregon will take place Thursday, and the Wolves and Seattle Pacific Saturday. Those are the games that really headline this week's slate. In women hoops action, the regular season continues with 11 games this week as well. Unbeaten Northwest Nazarene, which is ranked second nationally, will face second place Central Washington on Tuesday night in Ellensburg and Montana State Billings Saturday night in Tampa. Indoor track and field, four GNAC teams will be in action this week at events in Nampa, Pullman, Washington, and Chadron, Nebraska. Well, remember, for the latest in the GNAC, you can go to GNACSports.com to find new stats, standings, and more. Also, we invite you to stay connected with the GNAC through social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at GNAC Sports. We'll wrap up tonight's GNAC Insider, which we will do right after this timeout.
Remember, if you don't catch us live, listen to GNAC Insider over iTunes or at GNACSports.com. GNAC Insider will be right back.
Western Oregon University. Small classes, research opportunities, and new state-of-the-art science facilities. Everything from biology and chemistry to earth sciences and criminal justice.
Students have easy access to faculty who are invested in your learning. All the campus services practically guarantee your success. Start your science career now at Western. Learn more about the university where every student matters at wou.edu.
Well, that'll do it for this latest edition of GNAC Insider, but you're now just a week away from our next episode, which comes your way next Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time. That's where you can catch us live, and we hope you do. Thanks to our guests tonight, Curtis Campbell, Western Oregon's athletic director, to Northwest Nazarene men's basketball head coach Paul Rush, and to Rhett Bearlocker, standout guard for the St. Martin's University basketball team. Also, thanks to you for joining us tonight. And thanks as well to our producer, Connor Pelton, and GNAC Commissioner Dave Haglund. We look forward to talking to you 1 week from now. Until then, and until we talk again, consider yourself a GNAC Insider. So long for now.
You've been listening to GNAC Insider, an update on the NCAA's Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Remember to follow the GNAC through social media. To find us on Facebook or Twitter, search GNAC Sports and locate us on the web at GNACSports.com. GNAC Insider is a production of the Great Northwest Athletic Conference.